Okay, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here on Pentecost Sunday, no less, which I actually forgot about until Henry reminded me this morning. We're looking at the story of Lydia and how God really just broke into her life and transformed this woman's life and her entire household. In the last few decades, we've witnessed the rise of many so-called liberation movements, and their goal supposedly is to free people from oppression and equality and to elevate them to a much higher status. Only then, they argue, can people's lives truly be transformed, and then they can become truly fulfilled and free. However, all these movements fall short of their promise every single time, because no movement that rearranges people's social status yet does nothing to change their hearts can ever be truly liberating. And the Bible says there is only one way to experience genuine freedom and transformation, and that is to have a heart set free from the control of sin. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Only God can transform a human heart that is resistant to him and make it soft and receptive to his ways. Only God can do that. And the Bible calls this a spiritual rebirth, or being born again. And only through the complete transformation of this new birth can true lasting fulfillment come. And the Bible tells us that God is continually seeking after people to bring about this transformation. He's continually probing and stepping out to draw people to himself. And it's the Bible is full of encounters that have been instigated by God, where he seeks to open people's hearts so that they can receive this new spiritual birth in Jesus Christ. And many of you here this morning can probably testify, as you look back on your Christian journey, that God instigated a number of events or put people in your path in order to bring you to that place where he can open your heart up and receive Jesus Christ. In our reading today, we heard about a woman called Lydia, who had such an encounter with God, and her heart was opened by him, and she became a follower of Jesus Christ. And we read that Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey, not to Philippi initially. They were going elsewhere. And the Holy Spirit completely redirected them, their journey, and brought them all the way to Philippi, where they encountered Lydia near a river. That's the river, supposedly, where they built a monument now. That's Philippi, what's left of the city. Lydia was most likely of Greek origin. She was Greek. Mr. Brown would dispute that, but she was Greek. He says she was Turkish, but she wasn't. She was Greek. And she was almost certainly a very influential, a very wealthy businesswoman who dealt in valuable purple cloth. And purple was extremely valuable. It was extremely rare because of the great cost that was involved in the manufacture of the dye. They had to get it from shellfish, apparently, and it was really, really costly to produce. So Lydia's cloth was in very, very high demand. And purple was also very fashionable, and it was the color of royalty and dignitaries. So these would have been the type of people that would have been Lydia's clients. So if you think of all the sort of main dignitaries and royalties around, and all your big pop stars and etc., celebrities, they would have been in Lydia's client book. Lydia was also a worshipper of God, we're told. And what we know is that at some point she must have shown an interest in the God of Israel. She had become at some point a religious woman. And I want to stress this morning that being religious is not the same thing as knowing God personally. It's a very different thing. But she did, however, have a heart that was genuinely seeking after God. And the Bible says that if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened. Salvation will be given to us. Everyone who truly seeks will find God. That's a promise from the Bible. In saying that, it's always God who first seeks us. And in John 6, we read that Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me, draws them to me. So this was a God-engineered encounter with Lydia and this missionary team, Paul and Silas. And for some of you here this morning, this service is a God-engineered encounter. God will be reaching out to you in different ways. For some of you, your hearts will be touched or opened, just as Lydia's was, for the very first time. Or for others of you, it will be warmed afresh to the things of God. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe your relationship is not quite what it should be. And the Lord will open your heart afresh this morning to the things of God. And the question that you will face this morning, when God has done that, is how will I respond to this prompting by the Spirit of God this morning? What is going to be my response to that? And if you choose to come to Christ, another promise from the Bible is that he will receive you with open arms. In John 6, Jesus said, "The one who comes to me, I will certainly never cast out." God will never turn away a seeking or repentant heart. Never. So when back to the story of the encounter with Lydia, when Paul and Silas were at the river looking to worship God, and they discovered Lydia and her friends who were also doing likewise. When they were given the opportunity to speak, they began to share Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with them. And we're told that the Lord opened Lydia's heart. I want you to really note that. It was the Lord that opened Lydia's heart. Friends, salvation belongs to God only. Only God can prize open a human heart. No human being can ever prize, however big a crowbar, spiritual crowbar you have, can prize open a human heart. Only God can do that. We're called to befriend people, to introduce them to Jesus, to be signposts to Jesus Christ. But only God can open up a human heart. And that's why I love, I'm going to give Alpha a plug here. That's why I love Alpha so much. I believe that Alpha, I'll get slated for this by everybody else, these other ministries, but I believe it's the most crucial ministry in the church. And I'll tell you why I believe that. It's because every Alpha course is always 100% successful. Every single one, without exception. And I don't mean by that because we may see people come to faith. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that after the first two talks of Alpha, the entire gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached and made known. And that is what we're called to do. The rest is down to the Spirit of God. If people stop coming to Alpha after two sessions, it doesn't matter. The message has gone out, and the Spirit of God may bring it back in 1 month, 2 months, 2 years, 10 years, on their deathbed. We don't know. Salvation belongs to God. So be free if you feel pressured that you have to convert anybody. We can't convert a single person. We haven't got a spiritual crowbar big enough to prize open the human heart. God opened Lydia's heart. And as Lydia listened to Paul, her eyes, we're told, were open to see and receive God in a whole new way that religion had not enabled her to do. And she found herself drawn to this Jesus, her heart wide open, desiring to embrace him in a way that she had never realized or recognized or experienced before. This was a strong, independent, hard-nosed Greek businesswoman, very much in control of her life, who suddenly realizes that her life's foundations are suddenly shallow and fragile. And she recognizes her need of forgiveness, and she recognizes her need of Jesus. And as she sat there, she found herself no longer wanting to control her own life, but instead wanting Jesus to be in charge of her life. So we're told that Lydia gave her life over to Christ, and she became the first recorded Christian convert in Europe. But the opening of Lydia's heart to Christ wasn't the only thing that was open. That led to her opening up her home. Because we're told in later on that, the Lord opened her heart, that then she urges the missionaries to accept her hospitality, saying, "If you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." Her home, you can imagine it, her home would have been a statement of her wealth and her success. It would have been one of the finer homes in Philippi. There it is. But Lydia now expressed her new life by inviting the missionaries to make her home the base of their mission outreach. It was from here that they were based and to go out and reach the rest of Philippi and then move on to the rest of Europe. Lydia's transformation causes her to see beyond her wealth and position and to the greater need of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she gives what she has, her hospitality, her home. And Acts, I think, repeatedly speaks about hospitality and home as a form of evangelism and spreading and sharing Jesus. She decides to use her gifts and possessions to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. Lydia's hospitality and her open home were a hallmark of her new spiritual birth. It was her way of partnering this missionary team and helping them to spread the gospel. And her home became the first church in Philippi / Europe, first house church. I want us to look, excuse me. I want us to look very briefly this morning about this new birth that, that Lydia received, this opening of her heart, and what that means to a person. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, it's always because God has been working behind the scenes. It doesn't just suddenly happen. You think it does, or you think it has, but actually a lot has been going on behind the scenes. For Lydia, Paul and Silas were detoured hundreds and hundreds of miles in order to get to her. And the Lord was opening her heart first to sort of give her an interest in the things of God and seeking God. So behind the scenes, God is working, opening your mind up to the things of God, warming up your heart, breathing new life into your soul, finally. That's what the new birth is, having new life breathed into your very soul. And 1 Peter 1 tells us, "Praise be to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When the Bible speaks of new birth, it means that God has brought a deep change at the very center of your being. And that's what happened to Lydia. And that's why she was so willing to just open up her home and give it over to mission. And I want us to look very briefly at three things that happened to Lydia when God opened her heart to receive Christ that are also true of you this morning if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. First of all, God gave her a new mindset and new values, then a new desire, and then a new capacity. And that is what God has given you if you're a follower of Christ this morning. First, a new mindset and values. God created you with your own unique gifts, your own personality, and abilities. When you became a Christian, none of that actually changes. People suddenly think that you have to have a different personality when you become a Christian. And some Christians look at some weird Christians, some non-Christians, often, certainly that's what a lot of my non-Christians often point out, is they point out to some weird Christians. And they say, if that's what being a Christian is, then I don't want to end up being like that. I want nothing to do with Christianity if that's what I'm going to end up looking like. Well, the fact is, I've got news for you, is that if you are a weird Christian, you are probably a weird non-Christian. That doesn't change. You are who you are, and God never intended that you spend your life trying to be somebody else. Shy non-believers become shy believers. Extrovert non-believers become extrovert believers. Cautious non-believers become cautious believers. If you're a practical joker as a non-believer, you become a practical joker as a believer. If you're a cool non-Christian, like I was, you become a cool Christian, like I am. But, thank you. You've recognized that. Thank you. But what has actually happened is that a life of sin, that hasn't changed, but what happens is a life of sin has ended up corrupting that nature, and God sets about redeeming it by cleaning out all the infected parts and renewing your nature and making it more and more Christ-like. The Holy Spirit will actually empower you, that comes and lives in you, will empower you to master your own personality and to overcome the effects of sin in that personality. Things that have been infected like pride, anger, greed, lust, jealousy, and so on. God takes your unique individuality, which you retain, but he just cleans up the bits that have been corrupted and polluted by sin, and he gives you a new mindset and new values so that now you can begin to live for his glory. The second thing that happens when God opens your heart and you receive this new birth is God gives you new desires. When you received your this nature that God has been starts to clean up, you also receive a new desire, because the type of nature you are determines the desires that you have. So a cat will desire what a cat loves. It's in their nature. A dog will desire what a dog loves. Wrongdoers will desire what wrongdoers love. And those who have been born again in Christ have a desire for what Christ loves now. It's part of their cleaned up nature. Now, this doesn't mean that when you become a Christian, you no longer struggle with the desires of the old nature, because clearly we all do. We continue to live in a fallen world, and we will often find ourselves drawn to the things that are displeasing to God. We can all testify to that. Your deepest desires, what's happened now is that your deepest desires and your longings are now those of Christ. The old person, the Bible tells us, died, and the new has arrived. There was an old Lydia, and now there's a new one. You're a new creation in Christ. And I may have shared this with you before, but it seems appropriate to do so again. A lot of times, not so much recently, but certainly in the past, people have come to me and said, Mike, this is all a lie. People have just become Christians, they've received this new birth, they've opened up their hearts, and they become Christians, and then they come back and say, it's all a lie. It's a load of rubbish. I'm actually no different to how I used to be. I'm still struggling with all the same things that I used to before. Lust, sex, immorality, greed, all these things, you know, I'm still struggling with them. I'm not a Christian. I thought I was, and I was. And I say, well, hold on a minute, let's look at this. So you're telling me that you're really upset and you're really stewed up and it's really doing your head in, that you're still drawn to this and this and this. And yeah, it's tearing me apart. I hate it. And I say, so before you gave your life to Christ, did these things bother you? Were you upset by them? No, I couldn't care less. Well, why is it bothering you now then, if there's no difference? Can you see what's happened? There has been a difference. There has been a change. Sin now bothers the person, whereas before it never used to. It doesn't mean to say you're going to overcome every temptation in your life overnight, What it means is that you no longer want to go in that direction, even though you're drawn towards it. Through the new birth, God creates in you a desire to know him and to please him and to follow him. And that's the difference. Doesn't mean you're not going to stumble and fall along the way or struggle to do so, but you will have the desire to live and please and follow him. Thirdly and finally, when God opens up your heart, you receive a new capacity. Capacity to live the life that God calls you to. It is impossible for us to live the Christian life in our own strength. That's why God gives us the Spirit of God to reside in us. Yes, you will slip up and fall along the way, but generally speaking, you're living in a way that you did not have the strength or capacity to live to do so before. Dogs don't have the capacity to fly. Fish don't have the capacity to run. Wrongdoers or sinners don't have the capacity to obey the laws of God. It's not within them. And that used to be your position, the Bible says, if you're a follower of Christ. That used to be your position. When God opened your heart, you were born again. God's Spirit came to live in you, giving you not only the desire to live this new life, but also the capacity to do so. 1 Corinthians 6, we read, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So don't think for one moment that all of this had anything to do with you. Don't think for a moment that all of this is because you, all this has happened to you because you are a better, a stronger, a more disciplined person than anybody else. It was God that saw and opened Lydia's heart. And it was God that gave her the capacity to love and to serve him with all her heart. And it is God in his great love and in his great mercy that has opened your heart to receive Jesus Christ. God breathed new life into you. You were dead and helpless in your wrongdoing, and a dead person does not have the capacity to do anything. Why? Because they're dead. What part did Lazarus have in his resurrection? You did not and could not contribute to your spiritual birth any more than you could your physical birth. And the only explanation for this incredible miracle of new birth lies in the mercy of God towards you. The reason that you see the glory of Jesus is because he has opened your eyes. The reason that you love Christ, however fickle you may feel that is, it is because he has opened your heart. The reason you want to follow Jesus is because he has given you that desire. God, in his great mercy, has touched and changed your life. God has been merciful to me, a helpless wrongdoer. Isn't that amazing? But it gets better. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We haven't got time to go into everything, but I'll go into one more thing. Your new birth means that you're a child of God, and now you are part of his family. That's what happened to Lydia. That's why she opened up the family home and made it like, yeah, it's the spiritual home now. You know, this is for the family, my spiritual family, my fellow believers. You know, it's our home now. We're one family. And as part of his family, you now share the family inheritance, the wonderful gift of eternal life in heaven. And God will keep that inheritance for you until the day Christ returns and gathers the entire Christian family and brings us all into the immediate presence of God the Father. 1 Peter says, "You have been born again into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. You are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And it's wonderfully reassuring to know that God is keeping a place in heaven specially for you. The reservation has been made, paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross. But there's more still. Because the wonderful and incredible thing is that God not only keeps your inheritance for you, he also keeps you for the inheritance. 1 Peter says, you are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You are shielded by God's power. So if you're a Christian here this morning and you have ever wrongly feared losing your salvation, then you need to hear this. God wants you to know that your salvation does not depend on your ability to hold on to Christ, but on Christ's ability to hold on to you. And that's a big difference. It doesn't depend on the strength of your hand, but on the strength of his hand. And his hand is stronger than yours. And that's the basis of Christian confidence and assurance. Christ is keeping an inheritance for you, and he's keeping you for the inheritance. So picture Christ with his hands outstretched. In the one hand, he holds your inheritance. In the other, he holds you. Both are safe in his everlasting hands. And when he returns, he will marvelously and miraculously and wonderfully bring the two together, and the inheritance will be yours. Christ does it. And then you will enter the presence of Jesus with great joy and there discover the full value of your new life in Jesus Christ. I'm going to hand over to Henry in a moment, but before I do that, I want to conclude by saying, in his great mercy, God has opened your heart and given you new birth. God was always working behind the scenes, and he continues to be at work in your life, even today, even now. Never underestimate the miracle of what God has done in bringing you to faith in Jesus Christ. And never underestimate Christ's ability to hold you until that day when he presents you before God the Father as pure, perfect, spotless, and holy. So can you understand, or can you see this morning, why Lydia was so excited by the transformation of her life? Then that she was prepared to give her life and her home over as a base for the missionary team to use to help transform the rest of Philippi and then on to Europe. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, why not? Why not? Why would you not want all that I have described this morning? Why would you not want that? If you sense this morning that God is opening up your heart, if you find that somehow you're drawn to Jesus' message of forgiveness and reconciliation, and that somehow you're realizing that submitting to God rather than doing your own thing, yeah, is actually quite scary, but it also actually sounds pretty good as well. Well, if that's where you are, if that's what you're thinking, feeling this morning, then I've got news for you. That's the Spirit of God opening up your heart. And if this describes you and you have yet to respond to God's work in you, then I'd encourage you to wait no longer. Lydia didn't. She seized the opportunity. As soon as God opened her heart, she responded to it. Don't suppress what God is doing. Respond to it and receive him as Lydia did. And God will give you a new mindset and a new set of values. He'll give you new desires, his desires, and he'll give you the capacity, a new capacity, to be able to live the way he calls you to live. And you will become part of God's family, and you will enjoy life to the full with Him and experience true freedom. Not just in this life, but for all eternity in unimaginable joy and bliss. I invite you to stand, and then I'll call the band up. I'm going to call Henry up in a moment, but before I do that, just close our eyes and I'm going to pray. And then I'm just going to invite you all, because today is Pentecost Sunday, and the Bible says that whenever God's word goes out, it never returns to Him empty. So I believe with all my heart this morning that God has touched, by His Spirit, numbers of people's lives in different ways. Maybe if you're a non-Christian, He's touched you for the first time, He's opened your heart, and you recognize you want to receive Christ. Maybe you're already a follower of Christ, and maybe you've backslidden, or maybe your relationship has gone cold, or maybe it's something else. But the Spirit of God has opened your heart afresh and convicted you of something this morning, whatever that may be. And when He does that, we're called to respond to it. Because the Word of God, when it goes out, never comes back to Him void. And if you have felt God opening your heart up in some way this morning, can I please invite you and encourage you just to raise your hand, indicate that to me by raising your hand, please, so that I can pray for you. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thanks. Thank you. What I'm going to do, the band, I'm going to pray for you in a moment, and then when I finish, the band is going to begin to play. Henry's going to come up and wind up. And I want to invite you, those of you who have responded by raising your hands, either during the song or towards the end of the service, to come forward, and there's a ministry team here, and just ask them to pray with you, either to receive Christ for the first time, or just to affirm or endorse or pray with you, whatever it is that Christ has convicted you of this morning. If you feel you can share it. If you feel you can't share it, then just ask them just to pray God's blessing over you. But I would encourage you to come forward and do that at the end of the service, just by way of sealing your response to God's Spirit convicting you this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You that Your Spirit is here. Thank You that salvation belongs to God. Thank You, Lord, that it's You that pursues us. It's You that seeks us, either for the first time or where we may have strayed. You continue to seek us, to draw us back into that right relationship with You. Thank You that You never give up on us. Thank You that your desire is to make us more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And thank You that that desire is never exhausted. Thank You that Your love, likewise, is never exhausted. And Father, we pray for all these that have responded to Your Spirit opening their hearts this morning. We thank You. We claim that Your promise over them that says, You will never reject a seeking or repentant heart. And Lord, we pray that this morning that You will bless them with all that You have caused them to respond to and draw them deeper into Yourself. Amen.